Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, episode 23. We are emanating from 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street. I call it Pittsburgh's Bourbon Street near the Birmingham Bridge. And once again, Mr. Krenn is on the road with a very funny man and a Pittsburgh area guy, Mark Eddy. Guys, how's it going? How was the Comedy Fest?
It was unbelievable, Larry. We had such a great time. Sold out shows every night in San Luis Obispo. Made a lot of great contacts, yeah, a lot of industry people. It was a lot of fun.
Literally every single show was sold out, and they had a waiting list of people outside hoping that there would be room, and they made standing room in all the rooms that we played. It was really well attended, and it was just a beautiful little Central Coast town. San Luis Obispo, wine country all around us, beaches. It was really unbelievable, wasn't it? It was.
More importantly, did they laugh?
Yes. Well, you know what? It's funny, Sheila. You know, these guys all have Netflix specials and Showtime specials, and I had to follow a guy who was a Joe Rogan show and HBO, and he just obliterates the room, and I'm up next. I'm like, Mark, get the car. Let's get out of here. I can't go. But fortunately, it went well.
Well, it went extremely well. Once again, Jim's being very humble. He crushed every single show. We had awesome shows. We had really good audiences, though. That really helps, you know.
We had willing
participants. It was wonderful.
I think a lot of people just happy to start getting out, and we're feeling that on every level. I'm glad it went well. When are you going to return Jim Krenn to us, Mark?
Oh, I think you're scheduled for Saturday. We got some things lined up. We're going to do a show here in L.A. tonight at a venue. And then tomorrow morning, we're going to do some running around, doing some other friends' pod. We're going to be hanging out with Craig Shoemaker.
The Love Master.
The Love Master. He's hysterical. And just having a great time, man. This is what it's all about, man. When Jim comes out here, he just ignites me. We've been doing some writing sessions, he and I, writing some new material, having some fun. I'm writing some new songs. It's just, we're having a blast, man.
Yeah, we're going to plan a big show for Mark and I sometime in May. We'll be announcing, figuring out a venue.
I'll let you come back. I'll let you go back to Pittsburgh next week.
thanks, Mark.
Well, you guys aren't the only ones traveling. Sheila is about to head to the Arnold Classic in Columbus, which is Arnold Schwarzenegger's big, I think it's 32 years plus now that he has this body sculpting, weight lifting. Of course, I've been out there.
Of course.
Sheila,
competing.
I actually interviewed Arnold at the Arnold Classic about Bruno.
You have to tell You have to tell a story real quick about Arnold in the elevator story. It's killer. I know you may have mentioned it before, but you just got to give me a real snippet.
Yeah, so I originally went out there 1 year to interview Arnold about Bruno Sammartino, and we were staying in the headquarters hotel, and Arnold came out to do this introduction to Bruno for the International Sports Hall of Fame. I was so pumped up to be able to have this opportunity to interview him. Then they said, I'm sorry, Arnold's gone, he's left the building, yada yada, and I was so disappointed. Well, I went up to my room to get my phone charger on the ninth floor, and when I hit the elevator button to go back, the door opens and there's Arnold Schwarzenegger with sunglasses, an unlit Cohiba cigar, and a man in the corner with a gun and a big badge. And I was so stunned that I said, oh, it looks like you gentlemen are busy, I'll take the next one. And Arnold says, get in. So I stepped in. I didn't know what to say. And I said, I'm sorry. You kind of took me for a minute. You look like the Terminator. What floor? I said, I'm just going to the lobby. Now I'm just trying to talk. And I said, well, I'm here from Pittsburgh with Bruno Sammartino. He goes, I love Bruno Sammartino. Just then, the door opens. The lobby is packed, and they see what I saw. They're like, that's Arnold. And then there's always a Pittsburgh guy. A guy in the back says, what's Larry Richard doing, Arnold Schwarzenegger? And I stepped out. They were going down to the garage, and I said, I won't be back. And the door's closed. Now, this is a one-in-a-million, once-in-a-lifetime encounter. A month later, in Madison Square Garden, at the WWE's Hall of Fame, Bruno's being inducted. Arnold flew all the way from a movie set from California just to do it. He walks into the dressing room. I'm the only one in there, and he's looking for Bruno, and he's looking around like the Terminator, and he looks at me, and he goes, I guess it's my line to say, I'll be back. And I'm like, he didn't just say that. There's nobody here to witness this. So meanwhile, unbeknownst to me, he goes out and he talks to Bruno, and Bruno tells him the story of my elevator encounter. And so when he comes back in, Arnold says to me, to Bruno, with me in earshot, I hope I didn't frighten your little friend. Meanwhile, I felt like Hervé Velázquez from Fantasy Island. I got a picture between Bruno and Arnold. So anyway, Sheila is going to the Arnold Classic.
How do I follow that up?
Well,
Larry?
Tell Arnold I said hello.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know you're into that.
What?
I didn't know you're into the bodybuilding thing.
Well look at it. I'm going to compete, and I'm going to bring Larry along with me. We're going to compete together. In the old and gain 20 pounds COVID-19 era.
It's funny because they had us held up in the, when I went to interview him the next time for this documentary, they put us in the pump up room behind the main stage. So before these competitors would go out on the stage, they would oil up. They were oiling each other and pumping up the weights. And when they'd see me, I go, I'm not competing, you know, and they were like, their eyes would turn like a puppy, you know, looking through a window. And then finally, this C parts, and Arnold comes with this entourage. And he walks right up to me and he says, I like your suit. And I go, well, thanks. You dressed up for me. And I went, yeah, as a matter of fact, Arnold, this is the best suit I have. And he goes, let's do it. He sat down and talked for 5 minutes uninterrupted about Bruno. And it's a big part of the film. And the big takeaway is Arnold Schwarzenegger saying about Bruno, this is the star of all stars, Bruno Sammartino. So now you'll know the background, Jimmy, when you see our Bruno documentary film.
I love that story, and I love that you are known forever as Bruno's little friend by Arnold.
Well, little friend. I'll tell you, thank you. You can remind us of that. I know you saw the film, so you know what I'm talking about. Meanwhile,
it is amazing.
Mark Eddy, Jimmy Crenn are in Los Angeles. We got Sheila Hyland headed to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger in Columbus and pump up. And we're very honored to have Sam Moore with us here at 23rd and Vine. Sam is the executive director of the soon-to-be Moonshot Museum, which is getting a lot of love. And Sam, welcome. I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Where are you from? That's what every Pittsburgher
sure,
wants to know.
Sure. So I've been in Pittsburgh for 5 years, but I am not an original Pittsburgher.
Let me guess by his accent. What do you think, Sheila? I'm going to say Kansas.
Ooh.
Oh, well, then I might as well just say Nebraska then.
Okay, St. Louis. So you're in the right right region,
really,
for sure.
Mid-Midwest. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yep.
And how do you like Pittsburgh?
Oh, it's phenomenal. Yeah, been here for 5 years. Can't imagine being anywhere else. We live in the north side, and so easy access to everything. Wonderful, walkable, bikeable. Couldn't ask for a better place to be.
And guys, what you might not know is Astrobotics, which is on the north side there, a new facility. They're sending stuff to the moon. The governor was there just taking a tour. And Sam, that's all part of what many Pittsburghers might not know is space.
Absolutely.
From Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
We have a lot of space cadets. But this is new, so tell us about the Moonshot Museum.
Absolutely. So Moonshot Museum, brand new museum in Pittsburgh's north side in the Manchester neighborhood. And we are tightly partnered with Astrobotic, which you mentioned. And Astrobotic this year, in just a few months from now, is going to become the first private company to ever land on the surface of the moon. And their lander will be the first American spacecraft to be on the moon, to land on the moon since the end of Apollo 50 years ago, if you can imagine that.
Has that been that long?
It has been 50 years
guys,
since America last landed.
What do you want to send to the moon from Pittsburgh? Got any ideas?
Send a Permani sandwich. Let's send a Permani sandwich.
Yeah, We actually had a competition a few years ago. We worked with the Heinz History Center, and a Kennywood token is going to the moon this year. That's what the choice of the community was a big vote, and a Kennywood token won. It beat out a piece of Permani sandwich. It beat out a piece of terrible towel. There's a whole bunch of crazy things.
I would personally like to see a Yinzer card going up to the moon.
Well, fair enough.
We can make that happen. Listen, Jim, I'm thinking, though, if you could get a Permani sandwich to the moon, at least it would stay fresh.
It certainly would. Yeah, I mean, it would, it would, I think it'd dry out pretty quickly. You'd have freeze-dried Permani, so it would last for a while.
Just think of all the things that have been innovated the first time we all went to the moon. Tang. Mm-hmm. What else? There were a bunch of innovations, and some of those came from Pittsburgh even back then.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think Pittsburgh has been contributing to the space race. You know, there's this rich tradition of innovation here. Without companies like the Alcoas and the PPGs and the Westinghouses of Pittsburgh, we wouldn't have gotten to the moon the first time. And now, 50 years later, universities like Carnegie Mellon, companies like Astrobotics, suppliers across the region are getting ready to return us there. And we're right on the edge of, you're going to see a lot of Pittsburgh in the news in 2022 because of our leadership in the space industry.
I had no idea that we were in any way tied to the space industry.
Yeah.
This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And so you've got this museum that you're going to be opening up.
Correct.
And this is exciting. If nobody has heard about this before, I mean, this is thrilling. Is there anything like it anywhere in the country?
That is a great question, and the answer is no. So you are going to be able to visit Moonshot Museum, which is tightly partnered with Astrobotics, so tightly that we're in the same building. So when you come to visit us, there's actually a wall of windows within the museum that will look in on Astrobotics' clean room high bay space, where they're building spacecraft. There is no other place you can go in the country and watch spacecraft be built. If you know someone at Kennedy Space Center, you pay an extra fee, you can get a behind-the-scenes tour. But certainly, anytime we're open, you're going to be able to come in and watch space happen, as well as interact with people who are doing that work, whether they be engineers or business people or marketers who are making the space industry tick.
We're with Sam Moore, Executive Director of the Moonshot Museum here in Pittsburgh. Jimmy, Mark, you got any moonshot questions?
I do. I'm fascinated by it. Will there be any type of simulation thing where we could experience what it'd be like in a capsule or anything like that at the at the museum?
Absolutely. So Astrobotic wow. builds robotic spacecraft. They're not sending people up, but you're going to be able to come to Moonshot Museum and go on a simulated lunar mission. So you'll tackle real challenges that space industry professionals face every day. You're also going to encounter, our particular focus is on middle and high school students. So they'll be able to come in and encounter real careers that exist in the space industry that are relevant to their interests so that they can really consider that as a path for themselves. So we are very focused on kind of this immersive simulation, lunar mission type simulations there. So you're going to have a very cool experience. In our first mission that we're going to launch with, you'll set up a permanent human settlement up on the surface of the moon, and you'll find water and select a site for your settlement, write the charter for your settlement. And then we'll have future missions that you're solving crimes on the moon. You're setting up an entrepreneurial space company here on Earth. There's going to be all kinds of neat experiences that we're building.
What would it look like if we were to someday live on the moon?
Yeah,
talk about that experience.
That's a good question. We're thinking a lot about that now, and we're really not too far away from that, right? NASA's goal is to return to the surface of the moon, people to the surface of the moon, put the first woman and person of color on the moon by the end of this decade. We're talking now about space stations. Exactly, yeah. We're talking now about space stations that are orbiting the moon, and so it's not a leap to think about what a base or a settlement might look like on the surface that's science-focused.
We got a lot more questions for Sam Moore, Executive Director of Moonshot Museum. Excited about what's happening in Pittsburgh. And I also want to share a story about my mother-in-law's encounter with autonomous driving vehicle. It's pretty funny. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland, episode 23 from 23rd and Vine on the South Side. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, who's in Los Angeles, California. I love that. Just L.A., baby, with comedian and his good friend Mark Eddy, who knows Pittsburgh as well as anybody. He's been on the left coast for about 20 years. Sheila Hyland, headed to Columbus to the Arnold Classic. Sam Moore's with us, executive director of the Moonshot Museum here in Pittsburgh that's going to be opening. A lot of exciting things happen. I can't believe, so a few years ago, guys, my mother-in-law at the time was living in Florida. So I was driving her around. We were at a traffic light, and we see a Volvo with this apparatus on the roof. It's spinning, and my mother-in-law says, "What is that?" I said, "Well, you're not going to believe it, but that car's driving itself." She goes, "Get out." And I'm like, "No." I said, "That's the latest technology. It's robotics, and this is the future." She just absolutely didn't believe me, thought I was crazy. And many people didn't realize Pittsburgh was this hub of artificial intelligence and this autonomous. I mean, we're one of the hub centers in the world for this kind of technology. And this also goes into exercise equipment. And Jim's out at Mark Eddy's house. He says he's discovered some edgy technology when it comes to equipment there, right?
Everything is on the edge out here in Los Angeles. They want to be the first. And I walk into Mark's garage, he has his workout equipment, and he's hanging upside down like a bat. And I'm worried about it. We're like, "Mark, are you a vampire? Why are you hanging upside down like a bat?" And it's some sort of an inversion.
Yeah, it's an inversion table. Yeah, man. It just kind of, you know, gets your gravity. It helps out, you know, helps the joints. And
He's got this yoga mat, and he's got the Peloton bike.
I got a Peloton studio. Yeah,
I'm healthy. I'm healthier just from being around you.
The dumbbells, the yoga mat. My wife is an athlete. Okay, she's a former biker chick. My wife. I married Pinky Tuscadero. Okay, if you need a visual, not too far from the truth. She is absolutely stunning, and she's an athlete. She always has been. She was a diver in college, a gymnast, and she stayed in incredible shape. She runs about. Oh, average about 6-7 miles a day, and unless she's training for a marathon, which she's actually done the Pittsburgh Marathon with her nieces, and we just have a great time. But she keeps me, you know, she's like, all right, mister, time to work out. She looks at Jimmy, she's like, come on, Jimmy.
Oh, I'm a project. You know what's funny is that even like the restaurants out here, the waiters, they like applaud me because my little beer gut. They look at me. If I order, like, you know, yesterday I said, "Oh, we're organic chicken." They go, "Good choice. You're an adult now." Very nice.
I think you should both go out to the Arnold. You might learn something there.
I'd love it. I'd love it. I'm friends with Larry, my little friend.
Yeah. That's funny, Jim. That's going to stick. I doubt I'll ever meet Arnold Schwarzenegger again, but who knows? And Sam, what's your impressions of Pittsburgh coming from St. Louis and finding out you never imagined that you would be living in Pittsburgh working on space projects?
I certainly did not. No, my background is in history museums, so it has been an interesting path to get here today. We actually moved for a job at the Heinz History Center. And so coming from a city that is of a similar size, right, kind of a similar post-industrial moment in its history, what I'll say about Pittsburgh is that a lot of really smart stuff is happening here around science and technology. You know, we mentioned robotics. There's no better place really in the world to work than in Pittsburgh on robotics, between the startup companies that are here, the university infrastructure that's here. You know, our space company, our local space company, Astrobotic, has robotics in the name. And that's because that is their primary approach to space exploration, is starting with really strong robotics. And they actually grew out of Carnegie Mellon. So this is a place that's on it in a lot of ways, is very future focused, is very forward-looking, and is really well-positioned to lead in space, to lead in, like you're saying, AI and robotics and technology. This is the place to be.
You said it's future-focused, so look into a crystal ball for us. Tell us what you see in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years as far as space exploration.
Absolutely. So 10, 20 years from now, we are going to be much more familiar with the moon than we are today. If you can, I think we think about the moon as a place that we've been and that we know, we've explored that, been there, done that. But the reality is that we have only spent as a species 2 weeks on the surface of the moon with humans. 2 weeks altogether. That's how much time we've spent. We have so much to learn. We also have only visited the simplest parts of the moon. When Apollo went up, they chose very, very flat, bare, kind of desert-esque spots because they're the easiest places to land. The interesting stuff is at the poles. It's in the midst of mountains and caves. And so we've got a lot of exploring to do. So 20 years from now, we're going to know the moon a lot better. We're going to have a permanent presence on the moon. We're going to have solved some big problems when it comes to the human body in space, because if we want to explore further than the moon and go to Mars, we've got to figure out how to deal with radiation and how our bodies handle zero G and our blood cells handle that. So there is a ton to learn. And, you know, I think we're going to be much farther along not too long from now.
That's good to know, because I've reached a point in my life, and guys, maybe you can relate, where used to be when you're young and an athlete, thinking of the Arnold Classic, you know, you would get sore after working out. Now you could be injured just by going to sleep. You wake up and something's not right, and you're like, what happened? Like, what happened? You know, so hopefully
this will work. I know, I just can't sleep like I used to.
Yeah. By the way, Mark, what's your wife's name, full name? I want to give her full credit for being such a athlete.
Oh, she's amazing. Cindy Yasher Lisinski. That's her maiden name, or, you know, it was Yasher, but she's Cindy Lisinski. She's a top-notch realtor out here in California also. I mean, calling my wife a realtor is like calling Michael Jordan a basketball player. I mean, she is an all-star. She's a rock star, and I just love her. She's amazing.
It's so refreshing to hear a man talk that way about his significant
Mark, shut
other.
Up.
That's wonderful. I love
years.
It. I know. Cindy's probably listening now. And
we were joking the other day about Fat Tuesday, and we were talking about, with a friend of ours that's from New Orleans who knew all the ins and outs of Mardi Gras, and he says that, well, Fat Tuesday's like the farewell to flesh. And then he said it 2-3 times, and it hit me like a lightning bolt. I realized my wife is part Cajun, because she said farewell to flesh quite some time ago, that it had nothing to do with Mardi Gras. Think about it. It'll come to you at a later time.
It'll come to you. You got to wait for that one.
Yeah. Let
that simmer. I've been married to my wife 33 years, and I tell everybody I've been married to 33 different women. She's amazing. Every year, constantly evolving, my wife.
That's a very good point.
Wow. You know what? You've earned points for the next 20 years.
Oh, Sheila loves
you. You are in like Flint.
Mark Eddy, Sheila's. Oh, look at, listen to Mark. You'll be telling your friend,
I will,
Andy.
I'll be like, well, no, Andy does a great job. He's, yeah,
okay.
He's, you know, very supportive. So
I don't know how we got sidetracked. That's my fault. Sam Moore is the executive director of the Moonshot Museum. What is going to be on that first shot? And when is that going to happen? When can we all get ready to root for this?
All kinds of stuff. So Astrobotic, as a commercial company, has contracts with NASA. They also have contracts with six other nations. So when Astrobotic lands on the moon this year, they'll actually double the number of countries from Earth who have been to the surface of the moon. They've got a number of commercial contracts as well. They're flying things like high-tech scientific instruments from NASA, as well as some novelty items that a Japanese soft drink company has purchased space on the lander. The other thing that'll be up there that I'm particularly excited about is through a partnership with Penn State University, the hopes of thousands of kids from all over the world are going up on board the lander. The Hope Moonshot program had kids write their hopes and dreams for the future. We captured digital images of those and are sending all of those up on the lander as well. And that's something we're going to continue once Moonshot Museum is open.
Wow. Well, so what? Tell us more about what they'll actually do when they get on the moon and they walk out on the moon. Again, we haven't moonwalked since, well, I was going to say Michael Jackson, but actually
how big is this first thing?
So the first one, this Peregrine lander, is a robotic lander. It's about, I would say, about 10 feet tall, about 6 feet wide. Astrobotic is also sending another lander next year that's about 20 feet wide, much, much larger lander. You know, the mission, there are a few different missions on this one that range from measuring radiation to taking a look at the lunar regolith, the moon dust, so to speak. There's also a rover from Carnegie Mellon that's going to be the first university-created rover to ever explore the surface of the moon, again, from right here in Pittsburgh. One of the first missions, really, one of the first focuses in moon exploration is we are pretty sure, nearly 100% sure, that there's water ice on the moon. And now we need to go actually find it. We need to get some of it and need to learn a lot more about the water ice that's there. Because once we have water on the moon, we can do a whole lot of things.
And when, again, is the first launch?
So we'll launch, Astrobotic will launch their mission later this year. That's what I can say, because if there's one thing I've learned in my limited time in the space industry, it's that sometimes those launch windows are moving targets, but later this year it'll happen in 2022.
And what about the museum?
So museum launches in October. So we're going to open the first week of October of this year. Front row seat to the space industry, and we're really, really excited to finally be able to welcome the community in.
That is so exciting that it's right here in Pittsburgh.
Right here in Pittsburgh.
Guys on the left coast, any further moon questions?
I'm excited just hearing this because it's in Pittsburgh. A lot of people out here still think we're Steel Town. And I have to tell them, no, we're techie. We're robotics.
100%.
And you say it just like that.
Full yeah, Pittsburgh. Like
We're one in Maine. We're doing shots on the Maine.
Yeah, you were probably surprised, Sam, when you moved here and found out we had a Mars and we have a moon.
And there's an Apollo as well.
I forgot about Apollo.
Yeah.
And we have a Peregrine. Uh-huh. It's a Falcon that lives on the old steel building.
Yes.
What would you want to know about Pittsburgh? Because we're here for you.
Oh, gosh. Great question. I'd need a second to think on that. I've never been to 23rd and Vine before. So this is, I've already learned a little something new. I'm going to have to come back.
It's a cool vibe. It's a wine bar. I came on Saturday night and with Bob Bazzelli, one of the owners, Lou Caputo, and they have a new manager. Dave's actually upstairs. So it's a cool vibe, very relaxed. Big trucks go by. We have some, we're kind of a foodie town, guys. Mark, you've discovered that over the years since you've been out bouncing back and forth for 20 years. Mark Eddy with us in his home in Los Angeles, which is very similar to the Kardashians in size.
It is.
Mark, are you surprised too when you see what Pittsburgh has done?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, just I can't get enough of Pittsburgh food, just all my favorite places. I mean, everywhere. I just can't get enough of it when I come back. And I
do. I gotta be honest. I do. I gain a couple of pounds every time I come back. I gotta get some Pittsburgh pizza. I gotta get some of that. I gotta get some Permanis. I gotta get it. You know, there's just those staples, those regular places that you go to. It's only Pittsburgh.
Can't get a good hug. Yeah.
Signature.
Hey, Jimmy.
You can't get a good hoagie. No.
We got to send Sam Moore over to, and it's just a couple of blocks up. Have you ever eaten at Stagioni's?
I have not.
This is a little place that is spectacular. Do you remember that, Jim? We had that dinner, and you live around the corner, and you're like, oh, my God.
Absolutely. It was awesome. We love it. Great Italian. Great. There's a million restaurants that are great over there. Dish, Stagioni's. It's fantastic.
Well, we're excited, and the Moonshot Museum is going to be a big hit. And I did see, when you had the governor visiting, on top of the roof, you have a space there, and eventually there'll be some type of lander there that you'll be
exactly
able to
right.
see from Heinz Field.
So we've got a great view. There's a roof deck on the on top of the campus where you've got this unique north side skyline view that I'd never seen before. There's going to be a 30-foot tall lunar lander sculpture on top of the building. You're going to be able to see it.
Wow.
Really is kind of an icon, a new icon, a new landmark for Pittsburgh. The Goodyear blimp, that's you got Heinz Field in the foreground and Pittsburgh going to the moon in the background with that lander.
Wow.
How did this all come about, Sam? The idea of the space museum here and choosing Pittsburgh. And what is this like to put this all together?
Yeah. So, I mean, Astrobotic grew up out of Carnegie Mellon. They started in a one-room office above a bagel shop in Shadyside to employing, you know, nearing 200 people in the north side of Pittsburgh in the largest lunar logistics facility in the world, here in Pittsburgh in the north side. And what's really been exciting for me, because I work for the nonprofit, I lead the nonprofit museum side of the operation, is Astrobotic has committed to Pittsburgh. They've said, we are from Pittsburgh, we grew up here, we're going to stay here, we're going to invest here, and we're going to welcome the community in to see our work. That is really unusual for an aerospace technology company, and that's why I'm really excited to be partnered with them. I'm really excited to have the community in, and it has been a journey unlike any other, right? To set up a brand new museum from the ground up, for it to be focused on space in Pittsburgh, has been really exciting.
Well, we can't thank you enough and very excited. Sam Moore, Executive Director of the Moonshot Museum, on the north side, and we have Mark Eddy and Jim Krenn out in Los Angeles. Guys, we'll let you go. What are you doing? You have more shows to do, you said, this weekend?
Show tonight. Then we're doing a Craig Shoemaker podcast tomorrow. Then I get home on Saturday. So bring home some warm weather, I hope.
Yeah, and I'll be back. I'll be back in April doing a couple of shows, charity event in Weirton, West Virginia on the 22nd of April, and 19 North, little venue down in Washington, PA on Saturday, April 23rd, and more dates to come, so stay tuned.
Well, Mark, when you get to town, we'd love to see you. Jimmy, safe travels, brother. Always appreciate you and you guys getting up early for us. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys.
All right.
Love Sam, you guys. Bye.
You take care.
Thanks so much.
Come see us again.
Absolutely.
Maybe we could do a show from your place down the road.
Would love to do it.
And we'll be back with more Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Episode 23. We've got Scott Mervis going to tell us all about the great shows coming to Pittsburgh. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn, Sheila Hyland, and we want to thank the guys at 23rd and Vine on East Carson Street near the Birmingham Bridge for letting us hang out. Bob Bazzelli, Luke Caputo, who are the restaurateurs or the wine connoisseurs.
The wine connoisseurs, yeah. Yes. I just realized it's our 23rd episode and we're doing it at 23rd and Vine. So.
I'm sure that means something.
I'm not sure what.
What?
But
it doesn't.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Our next guest is a frequent flyer with us. We love Scott Mervis, Post-Gazette. He's been doing that for three decades. I love. You have one of the coolest jobs in the world.
So I'm told.
Well, I know it's a job.
It doesn't always feel that way.
Right.
It doesn't always feel that way. But
so it's not as glamorous as it
but
looks.
There are shows that you go to that you probably don't really want to see, and then you got to write about them. And then there's probably shows where, like, this is... Then you're in the moment, and then you feel like... I've self-actualized. This is what I was meant to do.
I'm not going to complain about my job, but, I get I'll get a text from friends like, hey, we're tailgating before the show. You want to stop by? And, you know, like my friends are all like, maybe they're having fun at a show. And I'm like, dude, like I can't do stuff like that.
It's like me, you know, with the Steeler
this
games.
It's work for me, you know? It's so when everybody's there enjoying the show, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to write.
All right. Well, I know,
you know
we want to talk about the shows.
About that.
I got you. We want to talk about the shows, but I just want to dial back for one. You were there. I read your critique of Journey and Toto.
Yeah.
First of all, when Steve Lukather, the guitarist for Toto, announced to the crowd, hey, guys, it's been 2.4 years since we performed live with an audience.
Yeah, he did the decimal system on that.
2.4, I was
or
like,
eight
is
or
that,
so,
is that
was
like two and a third?
Were you there?
I was there.
Okay, yeah.
I wouldn't have missed that one.
Okay.
I always wanted to see Journey from back in the day. But I thought that was a moment because the crowd was like, yeah, man, we're happy to be here, too. We're happy you're here. And they seem genuinely excited to be performing. Did you notice that?
You know, there's been so many shows that I've gone to in the past, like, since everything started in, what, July of 21 again, with, like, James Taylor being the first thing, big thing back here again, where there's just there's still this feeling of, like, we're back, and, you know, it's live music. And some people are still just going to their first big concerts, you know, and there is this feeling of bands, like, so happy to be playing for people again. And I think we're still in that sort of honeymoon period of it being back.
I was just at Imagine Dragons, and
how was it?
Oh, it was fabulous. Fabulous. They put on such a great show.
That was really good.
It was packed.
Yeah.
And you know what was great too? There were a lot of younger kids, because there was nothing in that show that they couldn't listen to. There was no swearing. You know, nobody was taking off their clothes.
Yeah.
It was a really great show.
Yeah. I find them to be better live than they are on record. But, you know.
I thought there was a stretch in the city where we had Reba McEntire on a Thursday. Then we had Darius Rucker over at the Benedum on a Friday. Then we had Toto and Journey on the
February
Tuesday.
February was insane. I think there were like five or six arena shows in February, which I don't think that has ever happened.
Really?
In the history of the arena. There's no way we ever had five or six.
I didn't think of it that way.
No, there's no way we had five or six arena shows in February. And there was January ones too. Usually things don't really pick up until we get into the spring. But, you know, all these bands sat out for 17 months.
They need to work too.
And now everybody wants to be out there.
I was looking
at
the ticket prices just for Journey and Toto, and I was trying to do the math that they make a hell of a lot of money. And I got an issue with, not you. I have an issue with the processing fees that these companies tack on to the ticket price.
Yeah.
And that's why Garth Brooks took all that internal, because he was going to make sure the ticket price we give you is the price, not till you get to the end and before you click purchase. Yeah, what is this, like $26 per ticket for processing?
Fees.
And that was the Ticketmaster.
We always mention our buddy Rich Engler, but as he will tell you, that the artist now, like going back the last decade or so, the artist has pretty much taken
everything.
And then the promoter is getting the venue are getting everything, the ancillary things. So these fees, is the cut for the promoter.
Just a word of caution, if you do that,
ticket seller,
make sure you're doing it with a really recognizable, like if it says that the concert's through Ticketmaster, then go through Ticketmaster, because some of those others tack those fees on and they can make them basically anything they want. It's just a heads up on that.
Yeah. I've made that mistake,
me too.
Larry.
All right.
You know what I do? I don't buy tickets. I get the tickets. But what if you go right up to the box office? Does that still happen?
Well, that's a great question, because if you go old school, and here's the thing.
Is there a box office?
They make
you can walk
out. I don't know, with COVID.
We used to sleep out all night in front of the arena.
To get tickets. Now
you have to be first in line. And
you have to do some digital tickler to buy at a exact certain price, and they give some people early bids if you're American Express and some show. I mean,
City Card members.
You bring up a good point. And then when you buy online, they want you to do the mobile ticket, and they act like they're doing you a favor And then there's a fee in for that. I'm like, what are they charging me for? It doesn't cost them a thing to shoot that ticket to me.
Right.
Okay.
And the other thing I was wondering, yeah. It used to be you could walk up and you could buy a ticket from some person standing there.
You can't do that anymore.
Corner.
You know that's.
But now it's on your phone.
That's
right?
Another
now
great
it's
point.
On the phone.
They basically have eliminated that, which is part of why
at
they probably
some
did
venues,
it.
Yeah. Maybe.
You still see the scalpers out there, though, somewhat. And speaking
the T-shirt, when I was coming out of, I think it was Journey, the T-shirt sellers outside the arena. They came right into the vestibule. They came right into the little lobby area.
They were freezing. It was cold out. Once we got to the end of the show.
I was going to say, speaking of standing in line, a few months ago I went to get Hamilton tickets. And they said, you are number 10,236 in line.
Oh, did you get them?
I got them through a friend because, there was no way I was going to get tickets.
10,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, there weren't that many performances mm-hmm. that would get 10,000 people in there.
No, that show, people want to see it, and they're paying crazy numbers, like $400 a ticket for the orchestra pit. I mean...
I'm not paying that much.
No,
but I'm going to see them on Saturday. Or
you're going. At you, going to see
Arnold. Journey, what did you... I thought it was a hot mess.
You know
I'm
what?
I'm sorry to say, I thought Toto sounded smooth,
Toto
professional.
Was great.
And then Journey comes out, and I felt like they were playing against each other. Like they couldn't hear.
I agree.
The other people in the band.
And when I read your post critique, I'm like, he's right on.
Because
It took him a while. They got in there, and there was a little too much of the guitar solo stuff at times. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It was a long show.
I grimaced a lot during that show. Like I had this look on my face. Did you? Like I was like, like that note, like the note's bad or the... That came in too loud and, you know.
Toto just sounded like smooth.
They
You're
were
right.
Slick.
They were like
and
glass.
Usually it's the other way around. You know, you have the opening band
act.
Doesn't get as good a sound check. Well, they don't get as good sound.
Mm-hmm. To their, to make excuses for Journey, but they patched that group together. And that was their first. This was their opening tour was Pittsburgh, opening night. So I'm sure they'll work some of that out.
But they did play Vegas in December for like 8 dates or something like that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't work it out.
Yeah.
All right. Scott
Maybe they
Mervis,
were doing other stuff in Vegas.
Post Gazette's music critic. All right, let's talk about...
Oh, I thought we were done.
No.
Oh.
No, we just
got work
started,
to do.
Scott. What are you talking about?
You got work to do. I want to know.
We ran out the clock.
No. Not
do
so
fast. Do you
want
to leave?
You got to go?
There's not that much to say about March.
Oh, but there's stuff coming up, though.
You know what March is to me.
Let me say this about March. One of the things that people were going to be very happy about is the return of live music for St. Patrick's Day. Because for the last couple years, you know, this all started right before St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
And everybody was planning their shows for... Basically, the Saturday before St. Patrick's Day.
Basically, shut down that week.
Shut down that week. It shut down, I think, March 12th, right when South by Southwest announced mm-hmm. it was canceled. And then, like, within a day, everything, the parade, you know. So all this stuff is coming back live this year. And the biggest drawing act of St. Patrick's Day in Pittsburgh is Bastard Bearded Irishman. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
Bastard Bearded Irishman.
You're not familiar with Bastard Bearded Irishman?
No, and I should be.
Come on,
I'm part Irish.
Seriously? What's wrong with you?
I mean, they are like sort of...
Where do they emanate from?
Where do they emanate? Pittsburgh.
I just love that word.
Yeah, they're a Pittsburgh band, and they're like a sort of a Celtic punk band along the lines of
Celtic punk band.
Yeah, like the Dropkick Murphys
never have put
or
those
something
two
like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so they're Pittsburgh's Dropkick Murphys.
All right,
if you have a or Flogging Molly, they're in that genre of Celtic punk, and they do a big every year. They would do a big blast at the Rex Theater.
I love it.
Which is now gone.
What is it now? They've been remodeling.
It's supposed to be Enclave.
Enclave.
Which is going to be a dance club primarily with some live stuff.
Which brings us to a big question. There was a fire and then they condemned the building or something. They've done a lot of work, obviously, to bring it up to code. They're still working on it.
They're still working on it, I believe.
This brings up a very interesting topic. Now, Jim Krenn wants to wear a T-shirt. It's always Starlight to me. Sheila, you asked.
Yeah, I had to ask. I said, is it Niagara Pavilion? You said no. How many different names has that venue had over
Let's
the
see,
years?
There was
Coca-Cola.
There was Coca-Cola Star Lake. And we always, we got an email anytime we didn't say Coca-Cola in front of Star Lake, because you had to get that sponsor in there. Mm-hmm. And then it was, and then there was the
Post-Gazette Pavilion.
First, yeah. Which was extremely awkward
for you.
For me.
Because if you wanted to rip some artist, you would have to say.
Or the other way around. If you gave a positive review and someone would like, say, oh, well, you own the venue. I'm like, no, we don't own the venue. we're not reviewing our own shows.
All right.
And then what was it? First Niagara and then KeyBank. And now there's no paid naming.
They backed off because nobody knew what was going to happen. So it was hard for them to get money not knowing. But things are looking up overall.
We'll have something like the Moonshot Museum, you know, amphitheater.
So, yeah. So the big show in March for me,
yeah,
is March 26th.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
Aww. Are they worth seeing?
Yes. The Eagles are worth seeing.
I have not. No, I didn't realize they were coming March 26th.
Also, I promise you, sold out, yeah, the sound will be immaculate for the Eagles.
Yeah, they're sticklers, right?
They will work that out. Like they are sticklers for details like that.
Well, Jimmy Crenn introduced me.
Not Joe Walsh. No. Probably. He's not necessarily a stickler for anything.
And Vince Gill.
Yeah. Vince Gill. Deacon Fry, son of Glenn. Yeah.
Which is that obviously missing Glenn Frey. He was the voice of some of their songs, but yeah, very much a part of the group. And
yeah, like Take It Easy.
Yeah, I was a fan of his. So it'll be interesting that his son's doing the shows.
This is probably what their second time coming with him. Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of vocals, Deacon. Like right. Vince Gill handles the majority, if I remember, of Glenn Frey's vocals.
And I'm a big fan of Don Henley.
Oh yeah,
you know Don is.
Yeah, he's good, man. He's good.
I love.
Some
that
people
song.
Hate the Eagles. That's one of those things. Is people? Some people hate the Eagles.
Why?
As you know, like the Big Lebowski. Like
I've always wanted to see them.
Became a meme of hating the Eagles.
I thought most people really loved the Eagles.
So you haven't seen the Eagles?
No.
And you hadn't seen Journey?
No. I'm deprived.
That's because you were working mornings.
Yeah, it's killing me.
Is that why?
I'm going. This is on a Saturday, so.
Yeah, it'll be slick. You know,
I'm
it's funny.
Stay up till 11.
They said. you'll be out by 11.
Yeah,
you'll be
the
home
Journey
by 11.
Show was really long.
Yeah, they put a DJ in front of the first band
just to get
for
the crowd.
No reason
well, they,
at
if they,
all.
That's cool to do that, if but do it early. Don't
like
hold
before,
the whole show up.
Yeah, right.
TJ the
right.
DJ.
Yeah.
He did a nice job, but he started after the show was supposed to start, and then the
yes.
show got over late. I noticed in Pittsburgh on a Tuesday night. People started getting antsy. Do you notice they started?
Well, yeah. I did. I mean, for one thing, here, you're about to listen to Toto play for an hour, Journey play for 2 hours. You're about to listen to 3 hours of music. You don't really need a DJ to play really, really loud. It was real loud. It's just like pound your ears for like a half hour.
That was to soften them up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So any other?
Maybe that's why Journey didn't sound good. Maybe our ears were damaged. But, you know, when I wrote that, I'm like, is it maybe it's just where I'm sitting. You know,
no, I heard
I always have
a
to
few
worry
people
about
that went to the concert, and I heard the same thing that you both are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that Toto was fabulous.
Yeah, they were great. All right. Any other?
Except for Georgie Porgy. That's Georgie Porgy song.
Yeah. Not a big fan.
No,
Africa
no.
went killed.
Yeah.
That was their final number.
Yeah. That Georgie Porgy chorus goes on way longer than it should.
All right. Any other must-see shows in March?
Must-see shows in March? I mean, there's a... Gary Numan is coming to the Thunderbird, which is really cool because, like, I mean, you remember Gary Numan from in the New Wave days? It's really weird to have him play a club. You know what I mean? And I saw Gary Numan play Altar Bar. I was, like, right in the front. He stands there. He plays guitar at the mic. And it was fantastic. He's, you know, he's one of the old New Wavers.
When is that?
He's fantastic. That show is March 18th at the Thunderbird. And then Alice Cooper is coming to Heinz Hall, of all places.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Can you imagine?
I wouldn't mind seeing
him. Can you imagine back in the day, Alice Cooper playing Heinz Hall?
No.
Or any rock
star
playing Heinz Hall?
I think they should bring the Pittsburgh Symphony to be behind him.
Hey, they brought back the Pittsburgh Maulers.
They could probably do like Only Women Bleed with the Pittsburgh Symphony, something like that.
That would be great. Hey, so going back to, I was going to say Niagara Pavilion, but it's not Star Lake.
No, it's
going
to be.
Back to Star
People
Lake.
Called it that anyway.
Pfizer's going to sponsor it. It's called the Viagra Pavilion.
Oh, it's the Larry Richard Unfiltered Star Lake. I understand that they now have a plan where you can spend, I think it's under $200,
yeah,
and get lawn seats.
Plus fees.
Pretty much all, the, plus $1,000 in fees to all the shows. Is that right? I mean, that's a good deal.
Yeah, it's $199 for a lawn pass for every show. Now, there aren't that many that are announced yet, but I think that by the time we get to the summer, I'll bet there will be almost 30 announced.
Well, the one thing's for sure, you can read all about it with Scott Mervis, who's toiling at every concert for the Post Gazette. Scott, we appreciate, as always, seeing you. Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks,
Scott. And you were dead spot on your critique of Journey in Toto. So,
you know, I looked at, you know, I look to see what's getting clicked on the Post Gazette site, and I'm seeing this Journey review just blowing up with clicks. And I'm thinking, and I don't like to read the comments because I don't want to know.
Right, I know.
But I'm curious.
We know that feeling.
What's going on with this review that so many people are clicking on? You think maybe you said something completely ridiculous that, you know, that people were,
they were
just freaking out about. I don't know what it was. It was just.
Oh, you didn't read it?
No, I
well,
didn't.
I'll tell you.
I didn't read it, but I think that.
They probably agreed with you, Scott.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank Scott Mervis, Post Gazette. Marcello, who's here helping Jim Patulski, our engineer, who does a phenomenal job. Our producer is Dick Roberts. Thanks to the guys at 23rd and Vine, Bob Bazzelli, Lou Caputo, and we have Dave's the new manager. Did you meet Dave, Sheila?
I did, on the way in.
All right, you're going to the Arnold Classic?
I'm going to the Arnold Classic.
I will not
be competing, however.
Tell Arnold I said hello.
I will.
If you see him. And
yeah, we're going to have dinner together tonight.
Safe travels. So. And Jimmy will be back from La La Land for our next episode. You'll meet Buffalo Rose, a local folk group that has been invited to South Southwest, which is a huge deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, yeah.
I'm anxious to meet those
There's
guys.
There's two Pittsburgh acts going there.
I hear, who's the other one?
Ferdinand the Bull.
All right, Ferdinand
the Bull. Are they going to play here?
Buffalo
Just, gonna perform?
Rose. Well, we're going to talk. Jim knows these guys, so we're working out a contract.
Great harmonies in that group.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for taking some time. Larry Richard Unfiltered with Jim Krenn and Sheila Hyland. Episode 23 is in the books. That's a wrap. Go to kdkradio.com or download the Odyssey app. It's free, AUDACY.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get a motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.